You are now listening to The Beat Basement, Season 4, Episode 9.
Like, the lo-fi quality comes from, like, sampling from records a lot of the time. And it's, like, the fact that it's, like, you hear all these, like, really high-quality mixes.
Presents The Beat Basement, where you hear from your livest producers, all of them. And this is where it all goes down, where you hear the funky sounds. From the producers that's up and coming to Grammy Award winning, all of them. And I'm your host, Swish, and we going in. Everything going in.
Well, on this episode,
we have a talented brother, man. He's hailing from New Jersey. And he got the dopest lo-fi beats, man. On this episode, we have Just Jared Beats. What's up, bro?
What's going on, everybody? How we doing?
All right. Hanging in there, man. How you been making it?
Been doing good. Like you said, staying quarantined. Yeah. You know, just kicking it, making beats. Dope. Been working.
Dope.
Definitely.
So tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so as you said already a little bit, I'm from New Jersey, not too far from the city. I've been making beats for not that long, actually, probably about a year, maybe a year and a half-ish, like, messing around, you know? And then started taking it a little more seriously, like, this past, like, 6 months, and, like, trying to, like, actually get into it. And always been, like, an avid, like, listener of, like, hip-hop and rock and stuff, like, especially back in the day. And then getting more into, like, obviously soul music, because I love sampling soul, like, flipping soul music. It's fun. But, yeah, just been messing around for now, trying to keep grinding it out, you know?
That's what's up, man. Well, so your love for music just basically made you just say, you know what, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was younger, actually, I started messing around with the drums. I had like I had a kit, and I like played basically like the snare for the school, just like drum line type of stuff. And I did that for like maybe 2 years. And just like, this was when I was just getting into middle school-ish, so I had to be like 12 maybe. And just like put it down after and like never got back to it. And I'm kind of like, I wish I'd stuck with it back then and just kept like grinding through it, but you know, that's how it goes when you're young, you know? Yeah. And but put it down, like I said, always listen to music. I was always into like, big fan of like Cudi and Kanye, especially like Cudi when he dropped like Man on the Moon. Like, that was like one of my favorite projects of all time, so.
That's what's up. Yeah. That's what's up, man. Is that your name that you go by, just Jared Beats, or?
Yeah, exactly. Well, my name's Jared, and, like, I was literally, like, trying to brainstorm names for a minute, and I was like, I literally can't think of anything. Like, my name's just Jared, and I was like, no, like, I'm going to just use that name. And, like, I looked it up, and there was, like, a kind of a big, like, branded company, but I was like, yeah, it's, like, whatever. You know, like I said, that's my name. I'm going to stick with it, so. See how it goes. Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, just Jared Beats.
What made you get into the side of music creating? Like, you know?
So, like I said, listening to, like, Cudi and Kanye, like, especially Kanye with his, like, crazy production style and whatnot, and then, like, digging a little deeper and seeing, like, oh, who's, like, making these beats? Like, what are they sampling? And then, obviously, starting to get into like lo-fi music, like I started, or not even like lo-fi, but like that type of style. Yeah. Of not as like mainstream or like high quality, like, and you start getting into like Dilla, Madlib, and like all those guys, and like the people from like Low End Theory, like Mindsign and Flying Lotus, and like, you know, all those people out in the West Coast making just like those crazy, like, really percussion driven groove beats, like I feel like almost like house-ish beats.
Yeah.
And so like I was listening to all that type of stuff too, just like in more like college, I would say I was listening to that type of stuff, just like a lot of instrumental type of music.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I was like, oh, maybe I can actually like make these type of beats. You know what I mean? Like, I really like listening to a lot of music, so it kind of makes sense to be like a sampler. And like coming across, obviously, like I said, Dilla is definitely like one of the biggest inspirations. And I mean, he's a big inspiration to like all hip hop producers, but just like listening to the Donuts tape and realizing that like you can put together something like that made me realize that there's like true meaning behind just instrumental projects and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's dope. Let people know what lo-fi beat making producing is, man.
Yeah, so to me at least, lo-fi means like music that isn't of like good sound quality almost, and it's not like the producer, like it's like exactly what it sounds like.
It sounds so, you know, just melodic and just so good. I don't know. I can't describe it, man.
Yeah, so that's what I was about to say. I feel like the lo-fi quality comes from, like, sampling from records a lot of the time. And it's, like, the fact that it's, like, you hear all these, like, really high-quality mixes.
Can you sample everything? Can you sample all types of music and lo-fi?
Yeah, I love sampling, like, a little bit of everything. Yeah, I really only show, like, the soul stuff, yeah. But yeah, no, like I'm actually planning on putting out like some jazz sampled stuff I've been like stashing away, like, but yeah, definitely I could show you some stuff actually after, but yeah, definitely like sampling, and like kind of sounds weird, but like heavy metal stuff I actually like sampling a lot. I like those like really heavy guitar riffs.
I've never
like
heard
I,
that.
Yeah, like those like kind of like punk stuff. Like I really like. I'm a big fan of like Nirvana and stuff. Like that's kind of what turned me on to like the rock music. Again, like another big. I feel like a lot of like influence just comes from like looking up like big names and then like seeing who their influences were and like digging deeper and deeper and stuff like that. But yeah, it's always like fun to sample to pull from a lot of like source material when you're sampling, you know, and. Instead, I've just been posting all these like soul inspired things for right now, but I definitely would like to delve into like some other type of samples eventually. Just kind of wait until I get a little more comfortable and have a little more stashed away with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
What kind of software or equipment do you use? Do you like to use?
So basically, I make most of my beats in machine, and then I'll bounce them from machine to either like FL or Ableton and work in there. Because I like to, so like originally, I first started out in FL. I feel like so many people start out in FL. It's just like, you like click in the stuff, it's so like nice and simple, you know? And I did that for like a little bit. And then like when I started taking it more seriously, I was like FL wasn't really doing it for me, especially like I said, being a drummer and stuff. Like I really liked the feel of like hitting the pads and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so getting the machine was definitely a big upgrade. I felt like, and a big like step in the right direction. And also like, because it was somewhat of an investment, it made me like, all right, I gotta like really do this like every day, you know what I mean? And so I got that and then used it for like quite a bit. And would like bounce, like I said, would make the beat in machine, but like machine isn't great at arranging. I don't know if you've ever gotten to use it before.
Yeah.
But it's very like hard to structure stuff like the right way and like actually see everything, like how it's going to be arranged. So I like to bounce it out to FL, so this way I can like actually see and like see the arrangement and add little things where I need to, and do like better just like automation and stuff is also better than like FL. But another thing was, especially being like a sampler, like I like to use, like how I said, I use Ableton too. Like I like to use the different like pitch functions and like deep tuning and like the time stretching and stuff is like, especially in Ableton, it's crazy. So like you can really like manipulate your samples and like try to make the sample do what you want it to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy how every producer has their, you know, their certain softwares that they go to, you know what I'm saying, that they can just, you know, walk through or manage through, man.
No, 100%. Everybody has their thing, you know?
What's a story about hip-hop that changed your life or that you experienced? It's about music that you'll never, you know, forget.
A big, like, turning point where it was, like, more about, like, feeling the music than just, like, hearing the music versus listening to the music, I guess, is how I'd put it. Like, when you're just hearing the music, like, or when you're just listening, rather, like, it's just kind of coming to your ears and, like, bouncing off. You're not really paying attention. When you're hearing the music, like, you hear what the people are saying, and, like, it makes sense to you. You start, like, feeling something because you're hearing it. You're not just, like, being, like, a listener. You know what I mean? It sounds weird, but... So I went to a concert, and the group was Brockhampton. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but it's more of like a, it's like a, I don't even know how many members they have. It's like a 15-member group, like it's like a big group, basically. Just a whole bunch of like dudes, and they're like a whole bunch of rappers, kind of like Odd Future almost, but they started in 2017, and I went to go see them perform, and it was about like a 500-person venue. And I was like super hyped to see him. It was like one of the first concerts though that I was going to by myself. Like I wasn't really going with like a bunch of my friends because like no one knew them, so no one really wanted to see them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so like I wasn't like, I feel like it was because I went by myself. Like I wasn't like paying attention to my friends and stuff, like going and having a drink or like whatever. I was just like hearing the music, like hearing and like feeling the whole concert. And like, ever since I went to that concert, I was just like, I need to go to like everybody's concert. I need to see everybody. It's a whole, and like, I needed to start like listening to so much more music and just, like I said, like trying to hear the music and like going back and listening to stuff that I like used to listen to and being like, oh, like now I get it. Like I understand, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it was like this aha moment of seeing, I feel like it was seeing the live performance.
Yeah.
And like I said, like, not having like real distractions, like making that connection like in person,
right,
was like really cool.
Now it's the cook up. It's time for the cook up.
If you see something that is not right, not fair, not just, you have the moral obligation to do something about it. R.I.P. John Lewis. Yeah, man. If you see something that just, you know, rub you the wrong way and you know it's not right, you know it's not fair, you know it's not just, you have that obligation to do something, say something, speak up, man, for what is right. That's my word, y'all. Blessings on blessings on blessings. Peace.